I want you to stand with me for just a few minutes. I want to pray with you. Maybe read a scripture, comment, and let you go. How have you loved the Lord? Let me see your hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? All right. Father of heaven, as we lift up our hands to You, and dear God, as we speak to You in the name of Your lovely Son, Jesus Christ, Father, I feel the mighty power of God here, and I feel the Holy Ghost, and I feel the faith of the people. I feel the concern of the people. And I ask You, O Lord God of heaven, to move out over this audience. Father, to touch this audience. Father, to deliver from sickness. I feel You delivering right now because I feel faith, Father. I pray that You will deliver these people from sickness. And I pray that You'll deliver them from bondage. And dear God, that You'll deliver them from poverty. God, that You'll be with them and awake them to great, wonderful frontiers of world evangelism for Jesus Christ. Lord, that we might be partakers together in the wonderful benefits of Christ here in this world, and Father, receiving a full reward as we enter into the realms of glory. I ask You to be with us tonight. Give me just a few words to comment, Father. Give me a heart of interest from the people, and bless us tonight. I'm expecting You to heal these people. And dear God, I believe that even in the short revival, Father, or meeting, that there will be some that will feel the wonderful hand of God and will know that God has come and that they've had a visitation from God in these few nights meeting. So I want You to heal. I want You to save. I want You to forgive. I want You to be with us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm glad to see Brother and Sister Green sitting here. I almost didn't recognize them. They're very loyal people that come to our meeting with a regularity, and they support this ministry even when they don't get to be with us in service. Glad to have my brother Grady over here too. He hasn't been able to get out with us in some of the meetings, but he's here tonight with us, and we really appreciate having Grady. Also the others, there's quite a number of different ones that are here that have been in our meeting before, and there's quite a number that's here that hasn't been in our meeting. But we're glad to have you here, and we'd love to stay a whole month. You know, we just love to stay with you. But we have got a lot of things that we're trying to do for God abroad, on the home front and abroad, and it keeps us moving around. Now, I want to read just a little bit to you and comment just a little bit. Now, folks, seriously, if I started preaching to you tonight, I would have to preach all night long just to tell you a few things that's on my heart. I've done that. Maybe you would question that, but I've done that. I've talked all night long until the break of day, and my audience said, please don't quit. You know, we got into the revelation of the Son of God. We got into the deep mysteries. I'm a minister that has been privileged to go into the deep mysteries of Christ. Paul one time said that there was given unto him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted beyond measure because of his much revelation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have been given an abundance of revelation. Many hundreds and thousands of beautiful revelations of the deep mysteries of Christ. Some of these things are on tape in part. I suppose they probably have 1,000 tapes or more, where there's different things of the enlightenment of the Word of God and the mysteries on tape. You know, it was said, I remember reading where the Bible spoke of Jesus resurrecting from the dead and walking with the disciples on the way to Emmaus. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as He opened the Scriptures by the way? And the Holy Ghost will show you things to come, and He'll open the Scriptures. By the way, we've been given numbers and numbers of visions that pertains to this hour that we're living in and the revelation of what is taking place and what is fixing to take place. And if I talk with you tonight, it would probably take 2 hours just to comment on a few of the mysteries of God, just a few of the mysteries of God, and to bring things out to you as to what's happening at this very present moment. I think that some of you are aware. You that are spiritual, I think some of you are aware there's some things taking place. Paul one time said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't do that. And a lot of people are just babes in Christ, and he has exhorted us to sincerely try to receive the milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. So we try to hold it down to where different ones can understand it in a real simplicity. But in this hour, there's some of you that are spiritual, and you understand what is taking place. The Bible said that ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. And you know, at the door, that's as close as it can get without somebody just coming right in on you. It said that the wicked would not understand, for Lucifer, even the god of this world, has blinded their eyes that they should not see when good coming. But it is said of you and I that we shall know when it's nigh, even at the door, and that we should exhort each other the more as we see the day approaching. So then it is nigh, even at the door. And tonight, when I stop and think that it has just been a few days back, just a few days past, that the papacy of Rome has been in the United States. And going from place to place, I know that you noticed the papers. The papers stated that in different places where he went, it took hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the paper stated that the U.S. is still trying to pay its debt from the visit of the papacy. And it said that many states have not been able to meet their budget and pay their debt, and they're still in debt. Hundreds of thousands of dollars because of the visit. We had predicted a number of years ago that the Pope would come to the United States and what would happen. And he came. And it happened the way we said. And then we spoke of it this time as to what it had to do with. And sure enough, he was over here and it happened just exactly the way that we said. I believe in Texas alone, I believe they said about 300,000 people came out to hear the Pope of Rome. Now folks, you that are not spiritual, I'm sure that you don't feel anything's taking place. Just another thing. He came over to visit. That's all it is to it. He's gone away, and that's it. But I can tell you that it's not that way at all. This visit of the Pope to the great United States this time wound up everything. It wound it up. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a preacher even saying that? You know, I would be a foolish man to stand here and make statements like that, just as we say, off of the top of my head. But if I happen to know something and looking beyond the veil, then it would be different. And I can tell you that it wound it up. We spoke of him coming and that it would close everything out, bring an end to the Gentile age, and that would be it for the Gentiles, and God would then turn to the Jews. Whereas we just returned from the Holy Land a few months ago, being over in the Holy Land, we saw, as I said last night, young men and young women with guns strapped on their back walking up and down the sidewalks of the city. It was an alarming thing to see young women doing that as well as young men. So God is on the verge of turning around now to those people. He said that the Jews are enemies, as touching the gospel, they're enemies for your sake, that is to the Gentile. And he said, but for Christ's sake, they are the apple of his eye, and they're beloved for the Father's sake. And the Bible says, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Whereas I didn't understand what Paul was saying years ago when I read that scripture. But today, having come into the revelation that Paul came into, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and seeing it just exactly the way that he saw it, I know to the T what he meant and what he was saying concerning the casting away of the Jews. So then we can see that something has taken place. Now, I'm not here to elaborate on it tonight, nor to try to preach to you tonight. There's enough interest that I could do that without any problem. But as I said, I gave away to the slide so that you can get some idea of the need of the ministry. And I only want to say a few things to bring this to your remembrance as to what I feel that God is doing. It says in chapter 2, the book of Acts, speaking of Pentecost. You know, a lot of people misconstrue things concerning Pentecost, and they feel that if they are Pentecostal, then that means that they are godly people and on their way to heaven. Whereas there was a time when Pentecostal people were devout people and sometimes referred to as the cream of the crop, but not anymore. Because there are some, in some Pentecostal churches, there is more corruption, there is more problems than there are in some of the other denominational churches. Whereas all of the churches, the Baptist, the Methodist, even the Catholic Church at the beginning, there were some good people. And Martin Luther, of course, coming out of the Catholic Church, started the Protestant movement as a proof of that. But today, it is a Laodicean, lukewarm church age, having a name that they live, and yet they are dead. Some of them dead, some of them twice dead and plucked up by the root. And it is a day of procrastination, a day of lethargy, a day of unconcern, and a day where people are substituting for the move of God and the Spirit of God and the knowledge of God. They're not going on with God, so then they have to bring something in to get the attention of the people and to keep the people's mind occupied. So then they're turning to the things of the world, and they are more and more bringing into the church those things that are an abomination in the sight of God. Whereas the Bible says, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. Come out from the world, be a separate people, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then we know that to say that we're Pentecost doesn't mean anything. Pentecost is a Jewish festival, a time of the forgiving of debts. The 50th year, called the Jubal year, or the Jubilee year. And God had given that as a type, as a shadow, of the coming day of Christ Jesus, when He would forgive men their spiritual indebtedness, just the way that they forgave their brothers in the day of the Pentecost feast as to the natural indebtedness. And so then, when we look at this, we realize that Pentecost is only something that God used as a symbol, as a type and a shadow, and that saying that you're Pentecost really means nothing. Even though the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of this Pentecostal feast, and there was at this time people from every nation under heaven being Jews. Remember that. They were Jews that had gathered to this Pentecostal feast. And God had chosen this Pentecostal feast for a reason. And I'm going to try to comment on it, and I'm going to try my best just to have a real quick, short comment on it, something that you can think on for a few days. And maybe tomorrow, I'll get to preach to you. So then, on this day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together. Now, I want to read this, and I want to comment on it. Second chapter of the book of Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be darkened, turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want to comment just a little bit here. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it was fully come, that is when this Jewish celebration finally arrived, the time of it, that all of these Jewish people had gathered together. They had gathered together because they were Jews, and they related to this Pentecostal feast. So they gathered themselves together out from under every nation under heaven. At that time, the nations that had been settled. And so then they came together, and when they came together, here all of a sudden God had done something that just literally astounded them. Jesus had been crucified. He had been buried. He had resurrected from the dead. He had appointed a place to where his disciples should meet him. And there they had met him, and he had instructed them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so then he told them, go over to a place and tarry in the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. For the Bible said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so they went together and they tarried until this great, wonderful experience came to them. And the Bible said this 120 that was in the upper room, all of a sudden the power of God came down. The Spirit of God began to move. And there was a blaze of fire that moved into the room. And as a tongue of fire set upon each one of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I can assure you that there's great, wonderful revelation of the mysteries of Christ in the things as concerning the tongues of fire. But going along with something here that we can understand, these people, all of a sudden Peter standing up in the midst of them, saying, why, these people are not drunk. For people were saying, these folks are drunk. But he said, they are not drunk. This is not the time of day to drink wine. They are not drunk. But you remember what Jesus said there at the Last Supper? He said, take and drink of this. This is my blood. And he said, take and eat of this, for this is my body. And he said, you do show my death until my coming. And he said, I want you to drink this with me now. He said, for I will not drink it anew with you until I drink it again with you in the kingdom of God. Here comes Pentecost. Here comes the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets till John. Since that time the kingdom has been preached. Men pressed their way into it. And the Bible said the kingdom of God within us. That we inherit that kingdom by faith in the finished works of the Son of God. All of a sudden here comes Christ into our heart. Into the kingdom. And he said, I stand at the heart's door. I knock. If you'll open to me, I'll come in and sup with you. The Lord's Supper. I'll come in and I'll drink it anew with you. And all of a sudden, Christ came into the heart. And there he began to drink it anew with them in the kingdom of God, as he promised that he would do. So then, here we see a great thing concerning Pentecost. These men were Jews. They said, why, we live in another nation. We speak another language. But we hear them speak in our own language wherein we were born. And the thought is, why did God do that? Because the day of Pentecost was fully come, and it was the hour when God was no longer to be considered the God of the Jews, but the God of the entire world. He wanted them to know that he was the God of the entire world, because the Jews had become selfish, they'd become ecclesiastical, and they had frozen out the rest of the world, calling them dogs. And today, being blinded, they still have hostility among them in the Holy Land. And they must go through the tribulation period for God to burn this out of them because of the hostility. But God wanted to get himself a bride. And God wanted the Jews to know that he wasn't just the God of the Jews, but he was the God of the whole world. And so then, as the Spirit came, it didn't just speak the Jewish language. It spoke the language of all nations. And they began to say, he speaks our language. He is our God. He's speaking in our language. And so then God
through the death of His Son, by the wonderful blood of Jesus that appeared as the tongues of fire, the cloven tongues of fire. And we say cloven because they were told in the Old Testament that anything that had the cloven hoof was good for food. Returning to them as cloven tongues of fire, here they realized that God was the God of all creation. I marvel over this for this reason. When they started to build the great Babylonian tower, they all got together from all over the world. They began to get together to build the Babylonian tower. And the Bible says that God spoke and said, let's go down and confound man's language, because if we don't do this, then there'll be nothing that's hid from them as to that that they have started out to do. And they had started out to build this tower to heaven, saying that we're going to build this tower to heaven to make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad. And God came down and God confounded their language, and they were separated and began to speak in different dialects, and they couldn't come together. They couldn't work together anymore, just become a mass of confusion, and they had to leave off with building the tower. God didn't want that. See, because that was Satan, whereas He said, I'll make my nest among the stars. I'll ascend into the heavens. I'll be like the Most High. I'll set my throne there in the Mount of God. And God said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. But people have not ceased with their endeavor to make their nest among the stars. And already they've gone up, as you very well know, putting the little nest, as they call it, on the moon among the stars. We know that they've done that, and already they're building a place out in space among the stars. God said, though through the carnal mind of the intellectual reasoning of that which is contrary to God in the old educational system, after the tree of knowledge, you may climb up there. He said, but I'll cast you down to hell. So then here, God saw that the Babylonian system was going to succeed. So He confounded the language. He separated the people and sent them into all different parts of the world. But look at the beauty of it. When God turned it around, all of a sudden there's going to be another tower built. All of a sudden there's a pyramid city that's going to be built. Christ Jesus has come and laid some foundation of apostolic leaders. And the Bible said in these names of the apostolic leaders were found in the foundation of a city. Even Abraham said, I'm searching for a city. And when Paul and the writers referred back to it, they said, faithful Abraham, father Abraham, that sought a city whose builder and maker is God, one that has foundations. And so then, here we see the great city of God, the great pyramid city, the city that's built up of lively stones, as the holy priesthood, upon a foundation of a holy priesthood, built up to the capstone of the all-seeing eye of the Lord Jesus Christ, even our overseer, as Paul represented this after the experience of Calvary, being caught up into the third heaven, having the revelation of the Son of God. So, we see that they started out to build this city. Christ laid the foundations this time. Paul had the blueprint this time as the wise master builder. And then they begin to build it according to the gospel. And did you know that God hasn't confounded the language? Instead of separating them and sending them into all the world, He gathered them together. He began to correlate. He brought them together. And He began to send the preachers out down through the church ages to lay these stones upon the foundation to build higher and higher and higher into this great, wonderful presence of the glory of God, and coming together, building up to that wonderful mind of Jesus Christ, even the all-seeing eye or the capstone, which is Jesus Christ. Remember this. The Bible says concerning the capstone, it said, and the cornerstone shall come crying, grace, grace, grace. And of course, the capstone is the cornerstone. Isn't that right? Built up as a priesthood, a holy priesthood, into a great city as to a pyramid building, then that brings the cornerstone. Whereas, the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son that was made under the law and made of a woman. See that cornerstone coming, grace, grace, grace. The fullness of time. That was the fullness of time. Now, how I would like to elaborate on that tonight as to time. But here the fullness of time comes. Calvary comes. Here comes the Son of God. Here comes that capstone saying, grace, grace, grace to everyone. Have faith in God, for I've got grace for you. Crying, grace, grace, grace. And so then it came like a prism, and it set down and capstoned everything that Moses and everything that had been done down through the church back in the wilderness, right on up to Calvary. Here comes that capstone, and he capstones it in a type and a shadow and a symbol, all within the veil. And we don't have time to elaborate on it as to what happened afterwards, but just to bring this out as to the cornerstone. And here comes the cornerstone crying, "Grace, grace, grace." And all of a sudden, the great light of God, God who is the great light, struck that cornerstone, and the refracted light went out into seven-dimensional things, had the colors of the rainbow stretching out in a seven-dimensional church age outreach, all the way from Pentecost at the beginning of the church here, all the way over to the end where we find Jesus standing in the midst of the candlesticks. And so then the beautiful seven candlesticks of those messengers stretched out all the way down to the end of the world. We see that refracted light through the cornerstone stretching out there, and these wonderful things of God being shown to us by the church age messengers. So a message, a proportion of that message, then another proportion of that message, and then another proportion of that message, and all the way down to this time of life and this season of life, and we see the church age is closing out, and we see these wonderful colors of the attribute of God, and all these things beginning to come together into a oneness where Jesus himself stood in the midst of the candlestick. So then, Pentecost, building in the church ages, as it was Jacob's ladder, all the way up to that wonderful height of glory where the church is at now. A child caught up in the glory. Wish I could comment on it. But anyway, going way up into this place, caught way up into this place, all the way up into the heavens. Paul, showing this, caught up into the third heaven, all of a sudden the church has been elevated from glory to glory, from light to light, from understanding to understanding. They've been translated, transformed, moving up into this wonderful light. The pyramid being built to heaven. The tower being built to heaven. This time God is not confounding it because it's not built to make themselves a name. It's not built like the world and the commercial sources to make themselves a name. It's not built up toward the Antichrist, somebody that can rule the world to make themselves a name, whose number of name is 666. But it is built toward the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord said to Israel, said, "I've not chosen you because you are a great people, nor have I chosen you because you are many in number, for you're the fewest of all." He said, "But I've chosen you to make a name for myself." And that's where the problem is today. The church is not willing to honor the name Jesus, nor to make a name for the Savior, nor to magnify God, but the evangelists want to magnify their own name. And the organizations want to magnify their own name. And the commercial people of the world want to magnify their own name. And the Bible said it is their desire that they be magnified and that their name live on and on and on. But see, folks, there's no salvation in those names. There's salvation in none other name except the name of Jesus Christ. And remission of sin is in the name of Jesus Christ. And unless we can exalt the name, unless we can make a name for God, then we are at a total loss. Though we might be billions of people, we're still at a total loss unless we can magnify His name and lift up His name and praise His name and give glory unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, what are we here for? What are we here for right now? To magnify the name of the Lord. As the song says, to give the glory to Jesus, to lift Him up, to magnify Christ, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. People are falling everywhere. All around they're falling. We had a tent meeting in Charlotte X amount of years ago. And under this tent, we had a tent full of people. And I made the statement. I said, God, He showed me the fall of Jim Baker at PTL. I said, He's let me know. And somebody went out of there. They said, "Why? That can't be. He'll never fall." I said, "He'll fall all right. God said it. It's got to come to pass." And so then we wrote him a letter, and we wrote Tammy a letter, letting them know that God was dealing with them and they had sin in their life and they were going to fall. That was a number of years before they fail. They fail. You know why they fail? Because they didn't magnify the name of Jesus. They even changed after we wrote the letter. You perhaps remember a change. They changed the thing from "praise the Lord" to "people that love" and took the Lord clear out of it. So then, it is a fact that everything, everywhere is falling. 700 Club, God had us to contact Pat Robinson. And we told Pat, because he was bringing corruption into his program and these things that was coming into his program, that God was displeased with it and God would make a change in it. And sure enough, all of a sudden, going out to try to run for the presidency, when they come to say something to him, he said, "I'm not a preacher. So I'm just an announcer." And away from there he went. See, God wants us to magnify the name of Jesus. And God wants us to worship Him in holiness and in godliness all the days of our life. For God is the Spirit of holiness. Not Pentecost, but holiness. Somebody says, "I'm Pentecostal, Brother Pike." That doesn't mean anything. The thing is, are you holy? Are you a Christian? The Bible said Christ-like. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Are you a Christian? Are you Christ-like? Are you holy? The Bible said, "Be holy, for I'm holy." And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. How can you see God, the Spirit of holiness, if you are not holy? So then He's the great light of holiness, the enlightenment, the understanding, the great wonderfulness that we're looking for. I know they call the Pope, the papacy, His holiness. But you know that the papacy is not His holiness. There's only one His holiness, that's God. And so then we who believe in God are not looking to the papacy, we're looking to God. He is the Spirit of holiness. And as it was said when John the Baptist's father prophesied, he said, "And God has said that we shall serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life." So then he says, "Come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord." So we see here at Pentecost, God became the God of all people. I wish we had more time to elaborate on this, but I just want to say these few things. God is the God of all people, and God has sent His Word into all the world. And it's up to you and I to accept that Word. The Bible speaks of the ministry and the minister, and it says it's not him that's speaking, but God speaking from within him. Let all the world keep silent, for we are God's temple and God is within us. And God is speaking on His own behalf. So then we're here to plead the cause of Christ and to let you know that we need to magnify the name of the Son of God, and we need to live a holy, godly, overcoming life. So if you're in the world, come out of the world. Don't be part of the world. And listen, folks, remember you serve God with your mind. And the Bible said, "Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." So then, coming to the place of the bond of charity, or perfectness which thinketh no evil. For the Bible said, "Charity thinketh no evil." To be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. To have this bond of charity that thinketh no evil. Let's keep our thoughts holy. Let's keep our thoughts godly. Let's meditate in His laws day and night. Let's bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of God, as to righteousness, as to holiness, as to joy, as to peace, as to meekness, as to long-suffering, as to the understanding of the Word of God, and a desire to conform to His way of life. Folks, it's a great hour. It's a great time for the church, but it's a sad moment for the world. Let's stand together. God bless your hearts for your patience tonight. I want to say again that we appreciate you being here. It's a little thirsty, enjoying the water. And I hope you can come back tomorrow. Be with us in service tomorrow. I feel like that God will bless us. And tonight, we're going to sing a chorus or two, and then we're going to let you go. As I said, I had planned to pray for the sick tonight because I feel God. But tomorrow, if the good Lord's will, maybe we'll get to pray for them tomorrow. If you've got problems and you want God to heal you, then come on. You know, that reminds me, this is one pole of the big five-pole tent that we have. But we have this up over in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I learned today that it was at the same time of the year that we had this up over in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And there we had a crowd of folks, and God gave us some healings, and some wonderful things took place. And I had related to some of them how that this meeting up here in this area has to do with that, revelationally speaking. You know, Paul said, "I went up to conference with Peter by revelation, and we moved by revelation." And it's really something that this tent would be here. at this time of year as to what it has to do with and how it relates to the Jeffersonville, Indiana meeting. Well, anyway, there's a lot of great things taking place. We had a minister's conference this morning talking to the brethren over to Howard Johnson. We related some spiritual things as to the significance of the meeting here and as to what God's doing in this area and what's happening at this time of life. And folks, it's staggering. If you don't know, it's staggering. Let me say this. Perhaps you don't know, but there's one thing about it. Be ready. Be ready. For an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. Don't fail God. Don't get interested in the things of the world. Don't get entangled. The Bible said that if you're to be given to the master, you're not to be entangled with the things of the world. A soldier doesn't entangle himself with the things of the world if he's going to be a soldier. He must be trained to be a soldier. See, and coming to God and then going back to the things of the world, the Bible said the latter end thereof is worse than the first. For after that you've been delivered from the things, the bondage of this world, then you go back and become entangled. It's worse with you than at the beginning. So then you don't want to do that. You want to stay with the Lord Jesus. And you want to be ready at all times so that you can go with Him when He calls. So let's keep our minds clear. Let's forget about the things of the world. Honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord with your mind, your life, your understanding, your bodies. Do something for Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus together. Another key, friend. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Sing it with me now. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing. Can you sing it one more time with me? If you really mean it, sing it with me tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Can you lift your hands up and praise the Lord? The Bible said to enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. For God is the Spirit that inhabits the praise of His people. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Come on, folks. Let me hear you say hallelujah like you mean it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah. Can you do that? Praise God. We sang that little song last night. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I said yesterday we moved in on a street called the Groom Street. I thought, what if there's a Groom Street? There must be a bride somewhere. Let's sing that song together. Wouldn't you like to be in the bride of Christ? Oh my. You know what? I made the statement just not too long ago. I said, this particular age, and this is going over some of his head, I know. But I said, this particular age has to do with Snow White. You ever heard the little fable of Snow White? You ever heard that? Like a sermon we preached one time and likened it to Cinderella. And I remember Pat Boone, the singer, got a hold of one of the tapes and he wrote and said, Brother Pike, I never knew there's so much gospel in a fable. But the age of Snow White, everything, you know, that has ever been done in the world is a symbolic thing, if you can understand it. Snow White, the seven dross, like the church ages, you know. Snow White, though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. The old bewitching world, you know, where the woman, you know, the pattern of the paint and the things of the world. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Hollywood. But now it's beginning to fade out. And corruption is beginning to come in. And the bellies are beginning to rotten out with cancer. All of these diseases are beginning to set in. AIDS and all these things. And the world's becoming rotten, becoming a stink. And somebody's saying, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? And he's answering back, the church.
Snow White, white as snow. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Beholding as it is our face in a mirror, changed into the wonderful image of God. And sure enough, you know, about this time, they published an article. Right after I said it, they published an article in the paper and said it was, I don't know, the 50th year or some kind of a celebration of Snow White. And not only that, but I noticed a few days ago, a woman run for the presidency or was going to get in on the run. Didn't have enough money. And they had about seven others, so they said, she's Snow White among the seven. Isn't that something? The church must be coming around about this time. The bridegroom must be getting ready to come. Let's sing that song together, can we? I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. All right, the altars are open if you want to come up. We're going to sing it again. While the altars are open, if you'd like to come up here and renew your vows in God, now's the time to do it. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white, and I'll be ready when the bride. Come on, folks, let's praise the Lord. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white, and I'll be ready when the bridegroom. Come on, folks. Ready when that bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For we'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Come on, folks. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. Come on, sing it again. Ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. One more time. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And I'll be ready. We want to sing it again. Sing it again.
Hallelujah.
We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And I'll be ready. Pete, how about coming up here, Pete? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing it again.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Hallelujah. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Well, be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning,
robe the spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Hallelujah! I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, we'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes.
I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom.
Hallelujah.
One more time.
Hallelujah.
I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white.
Hallelujah.
I'll be ready when the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and close your eyes with me. Can you give the Lord a hand? Can you?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Somebody say praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands up again.
Hallelujah.
While we're standing here tonight.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
If you've never made that divine commitment to God, I want you to make it. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And folks, tonight I believe God can keep it. I believe he's able to keep us. I believe that God's grace is sufficient. So as we stand here tonight with our hands lifted up, our eyes closed, I want you to search your hearts. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you've been the faith. From the latter times, the Bible said, many shall depart from the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember that just believing is not enough. The Bible said, if you believe, you do well. The devil, he believes too. He believes too, but that's not sufficient. But tonight, you got to believe in your heart. You got to have faith in your heart. You got to have faith in the Word of God. See if you're in the Word of God tonight. See if your convictions is in the Word of God tonight. If you're believing the Word of God tonight, that's where faith is, and that's what can save you. So tonight, while you're standing here, your hands lifted up, your eyes closed, I want you to examine your heart. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith tonight. What a wonderful moment. This is the greatest moment that has ever been in the history of the world. This is the moment of the church. That beautiful Snow White. My, how beautiful she's going to be. How beautiful she's going to be. Beautiful Snow White. Growing more beautiful every day. My, how wonderful. For the Bible said, and God shall beautify them, even the meek, with salvation. And now is the time of her adorning. Now is the time of her beautifying. And she's going to make the world look bad. My, what a wonderful time it's going to be. So then, while we're standing here tonight with our eyes closed, our hands lifted up, now's the time to move out of the world. If you want to be God's Snow White, you want to move out of the world. You don't want to be part of the world. Come out from among them, be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. If you go after those things that are out there in the world, remember, you're going to perish with the world. And those things out there are tarnished. They're no more in the sight of God. And they're ready to pass away. And the world and all that's in the world shall pass away. It looks like they're having a hallelujah time right now. But folks, I can tell you it's going to pass away. The world and the lust thereof shall pass away. All of the glamour of the world is going to pass away. All of these things that people are making a fuss over is going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So come on in now. Come on in while you can come in. Call upon the Lord while he's near. Don't wait too late. Come on out from among them and let's be God's Snow White. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands lifted up and got your eyes closed, I want you to think this over. I'm going to call Brother John Jameson, a man from Texas. I'm going to ask him to come up here. We've got some number of Texans here tonight. While he's coming to pray with you, I want you to keep your hands lifted up. I want you to keep your eyes closed. I want you to examine your heart. I want you to think about this wonderful salvation, the glory of God. The wonderful things that's happening. Are you going to be ready when the bridegroom comes? I tell you what, he's coming in an hour that you think not. And it's right at this time that you really need to get your eyes open. For folks, I can tell you there's some things happening that you would literally be shocked to the core of your soul if you understood. While John is praying with you tonight, I want him to step right up here. And I want him to pray with you tonight. And I want him to pray with you for your healing. I want him to pray with you for his salvation. John's a minister. And while he's praying with you tonight, I want you to just give way to your feelings in God. to let God bless your soul tonight. Will you lift your hands up with me? Will you do that? Will you close your eyes tonight? Hallelujah. While Brother John prays, may God bless you and heal you tonight, Brother John.